This is the Talking Pictures podcast presented by the Film and Photography Society at UCLA. Today we'll be talking about the Oscar nominations and our thoughts. But first, a brief introduction of our hosts and their areas of interest within the film industry. Hi, I'm Andrew Trung Lee, second year psychobiology major, and my two areas of interest within the film industry are screenwriting and directing.
Hi, my name is Anu. I'm a third year physiological science student, which is just fancy for anatomy. And I am interested in producing, creative producing and creative development.
Oh yeah, so a disclaimer, out of all these films, I've only seen Dune and Don't Look Up. University is a very busy time, so I apologize, but we'll get through this discussion either way.
I forgive you, Andrew. Similarly, I have not seen every single one of the Oscar-nominated films, but I have seen quite a few. And yeah, hopefully this will be a very informed discussion. We have quite a lot of opinions. Andrew and I were talking about this earlier, and I think there is a lot of controversy between us about certain topics, so I'm excited to talk to you guys about this. So first, we'll be talking about the Oscar snubs. There are quite a few, and we're going to go through some of the most notable ones that didn't receive any nominations or didn't receive the nominations they were expected to receive. And I think one of the biggest ones or the biggest source of controversy was House of Gucci. Quick disclaimer, I loved House of Gucci. I thought it was fun. I had a fantastic time watching it. I just don't think it's Oscar worthy. Don't come at me. Don't throw any tomatoes. But I think a lot of people expected Lady Gaga to win or at least be nominated for Best Lead Actress, and you know, the performances were really all over the place for House of Gucci. There was no clear like ensemble direction, there was no clear tone. You had Jared Leto being like, "It's a me, Mario," and you had Adam Driver who was kind of bringing that experienced actor quality about him. He was very subtle and effective. It just felt like everyone was in a different movie. And I'm kind of glad Lady Gaga didn't win a nomination. She and her interviews are just all over the place, and I don't think we should reward that kind of behavior. But I at least expected that House of Gucci would be up for like costuming. The whole movie is about the Gucci brand, and so it's a little bit surprising to see that there weren't any nominations. I really love the costuming for Patrizia. I thought it told a really careful and beautiful story about her. But I will take hair and makeup, but I know Lady Gaga is screaming, crying, throwing up. She is pissed, but that is just the way the cookie crumbles. Next was Spencer, and I think I only saw this one out of me and Andrew. But I really felt it should be up for Best Picture. There was just so much care put into the directing, beautiful cinematography, every aspect of the film, from the score to the visuals, to the costuming, to the hair and makeup, all told like a very succinct story. And Kristen Stewart's performance combined with like Pablo Larraín's direction was just an amazing story that deserved a big win in my opinion. I really thought it should be up for Best Picture, or at least Best Costume Design, because the costumes were just stunning. And Dune, I believe Andrew, you and I have both seen this one, and I was very surprised to see that Denis Villeneuve was not up for directing. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I just think there are too many good nominees this year for directing, so I'm not too bothered by it. It was a good movie, and he did a good job.
Well, I'm bothered by it. I thought it was so good. I kind of came in not expecting much. Honestly, with high sci-fi like Dune, I really thought I was just going to be lost the entire time, that it was going to be pretty cut and dry. But like, the pacing was amazing, the cinematography, the visuals, the costuming, the set design, it was so beautiful, and I couldn't look away. Even when I was like kind of struggling to hear the dialogue, which I think was like a major issue with Dune, the visuals and the thoughtful acting and just the world that Denis built was so, it was just stunning, and he really should have won something for it, or at least be nominated for it. But with a lot of pain in my voice, that is just the way it is sometimes. Hopefully he'll win something, maybe a Saturn Award for sci-fi. Hopefully that's in the future for him. And finally, the biggest Oscar snub in my opinion was Green Knight. Andrew, I know you haven't seen this one, but after this, you better run to the nearest F Movies and find Green Knight and go watch it, because Dave Patel and David Lowery absolutely killed it. There was no part of it that wasn't beautiful. The score, the visuals, the costuming, the set design, the acting. It was so beautiful. And I think for me, there was this 1 5-minute dream sequence that I won't have any spoilers for, where it's essentially Dev Patel imagines running away from his fate. And it was the most beautiful, horrifying, lovely scene I've ever seen in a movie. And it was just, he should have won an award for that. Green Knight should be up for something, at least. But I will suffer in silence because it really should have won. So those for me are my biggest Oscar snubs. Next we'll be talking about the Oscar surprises. And I think we're just going to spend this entire time talking about Don't Look Up. Andrew, I know you have some thoughts about Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up, okay, I would agree that it doesn't really deserve to be nominated for anything. But I found it to be like a nice satirical take on our current reality. Whenever the world faces a crisis, there's always a lot of people who either don't believe in the science or turn the whole situation into a meme or into some sort of drama or soap opera. I was also going to mention that, yeah, as much as I enjoyed Don't Look Up and thought it was pretty overhated, I would laugh if that movie won Best Picture. So, yeah, I think it's kind of overhated, but is it worth all its Oscar nominations? Absolutely not.
Okay. I agree with you on that part that I don't think it should win any awards, but I think I have the opposite opinion on the satire. I thought it was pretty heavy-handed, and I know a lot of the popular reaction to it was that it was also very heavy-handed, that it was too obvious in what it was criticizing. I think a lot of people drew parallels to either climate change or the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, I don't think Adam McKay is wrong for, you know, writing a satire about it. It's definitely topical. It's definitely, I'm not saying that it's not based on reality. I just thought it was just too much. It was a little too obvious in what I was criticizing. You had people who were clear caricatures of others, and it just kind of distracted from the main story that was being told. And I think maybe subtlety is not Adam McKay's strong suit. He's done like The Big Short, which I thought was pretty good. I didn't understand what was happening. I just don't think those skills translated to a good type of satire.
Would you say that subtlety is an absolute necessity for good satire?
That is a very difficult question, but I feel like it. I feel like you need to, maybe not in all cases, but in the situation where it's very clear what Adam McKay is talking about, he's talking about climate change, he's talking about the pandemic, when everyone knows what he is referring to, I think there needs to be more care taken in like what you are depicting, who you are portraying. It felt a little too comical, a little too like court jestery, rather than being something poignant and subtly satirical. It felt a little too baby's first attempt at satire, instead of like, this is an experienced screenwriter who was making a point about government mismanagement.
Yeah, I can see your point there. Yeah, I think maybe Don't Look Up was a bit too comical at points.
Yeah.
Didn't really know how to handle emotions.
Exactly.
But yeah. We do both agree, though. Is it Oscar worthy of anything? Probably no. Not.
Yeah. Okay, so those are our like main Oscar snubs and surprises. I think now we're going to be moving on to like our predictions for all the different categories.
Oh, yeah. So the first thing, the biggest category is Best Picture. This is the category that decides what is the quote-unquote best movie of the year. So right now, my prediction is either The Power of the Dog or West Side Story. And the biggest argument for The Power of the Dog is, one, it has the most nominations, and typically we see that films that carry the most nominations end up winning Best Picture as well. Secondly, The Power of the Dog won Best Drama Motion Picture at the Golden Globes, and usually the Golden Globes is a pretty accurate precursor to the Oscars ceremony. So I think we can expect The Power of the Dog to win. I can see West Side Story winning just because it's Steven Spielberg. It's a musical, and the Oscars love musicals. There's a lot of technical prowess to it, from what I've heard. And yeah, it just seems like a very Oscar-baity movie. But at the same time, I have a sneaking suspicion that Drive My Car can win, considering that the Academy has awarded an outstanding deserving international film at least once before.
Its 60-year history, so.
Yes, but then it represented a shift or tide.
That's true.
You know? Yeah.
Maybe we can cross our fingers and hope that, like, let's go, Asians, let's go.
Yes. But I've heard good things about The Power of the Dog. I think if that won, people wouldn't be upset by it either, so. Yeah. Okay. Best actor. For best actor, I have not seen any of their performances, but if I had to guess on the winner, considering the sheer number of nominations The Power of the Dog has received, I'd be willing to bet a small sum on Benedict Cumberbatch.
I totally agree. With the number of nominations that Power of the Dog has, I would be shocked if they didn't win at least one, especially for best actor. I've heard so much buzz about Benedict Cumberbatch, and I don't know, if he didn't win, maybe a close runner-up would maybe be Denzel for Macbeth, but honestly, I feel like Benedict has got this in the bag.
Okay, yeah, Benedict is probably going to win, but if I had to bet on a second choice, it might be Will Smith, because he won the Golden Globe. But who knows? Okay, best actress. Anu, if you'd like, you can start us off with that one, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew and I, we both feel that Kristen Stewart has got this in the bag, because I have seen Spencer and she was just unrecognizable. Like, K-Stew fully got into that role. She perfectly encapsulated that sort of sadness, and that subtle sadness of Diana. And it was just an amazing performance that I think K-Stew deserves to be awarded by the popular media. She needs that. She's an amazing actor. She has moved on from Twilight, and I think with this nomination, at least, we're going to be seeing her in bigger and better roles. And I guess the closest runner-ups would probably be Olivia Colman and Nicole Kidman. But I don't know. I feel like K-Stew, she has this. If anyone's seen Spencer, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you that if K-Stew does win this Oscar, it'd be very huge. It would be a very huge dub for her career.
Yeah.
And considering the glow up that she's experienced since Twilight, it's incredible that she's reached this height, and I hope that she continues, and that's why I personally would like her to win the Oscar.
Yeah.
And I think there's a good chance she will, because if the Oscar does score this win for her, then is a lot of fan points.
Yeah, the Twilight fandom would go insane.
Yeah. Yeah, but if not, Olivia Colman or Nicole Kidman probably are going to win that one, if not K-Stew. So.
Agreed.
Okay. International feature film. Well, we thought this is, the obvious one. If you want to win, if you want, free money, you can bet on Drive My Car winning.
Yep.
Mostly because Drive My Car is the only film out of the international films in that category to be nominated for Best Picture. Drive My Car could win Best Picture, theoretically, in some alternate universe, maybe. So, yeah, Drive My Car, international feature film. And then for Best Original Song, okay, I feel like they're going to give the Oscar to Beyoncé. Because
that's she's just, Beyonce.
Yeah, she's Beyonce. That would score a lot of fan points. But at the Golden Globes, Billie Eilish and Phineas did win for No Time to Die. So I could see that being the second choice as well. If not the first choice, really.
Then for Best Animated Feature, Andrew and I have a little bit of contention here. And I'm going to talk my part first. I fully believe Mitchell's the Machine will win. I'm going to put that out in the universe, and I think they're going to win, just because I know that Disney has chokehold on the animated feature category, and I really want the underdogs to win. I know the care that was put into this with the director, Michael Rianda, as well as the producers, Philip Lord and Christopher Miller. They have been killing it in the animated department, and Mitchell's vs. the Machine just told a very original, unique story. It was about coming of age, not to mention that the lead character, Katie, is queer, and I thought there was some meaning to it. I thought there was so much thought put into the story, so much love that was so clearly visible. It was a story that everyone who was working on it was very passionate about it. And I just love to see it win something. It's gotten a lot of buzz at some of the smaller festivals, some of the smaller awards. And I really hope that he can continue with that theme, right? I hope it can continue win.
Yeah, I would agree with you that, I think Mitchell's vs. the Machines is the only non-Disney movie in that category. It is, correct. Right? Okay. That would be so funny if it won against all those Disney movies, and very satisfying. Like you said, it's an underdog story. I feel very uninformed because I have seen very few films that have been nominated. It's and you've seen like both of these films already.
Yep.
But the hilarious and also frustrating thing about the Oscars is that you don't even have to watch the movies to sort of detect patterns in the way they choose who wins and who doesn't win.
Yeah.
I feel like Encanto is going to win this just because, one, Disney has a monopoly, not just over the animated industry, but the entertainment industry as a whole. I think they own ABC.
Yep, that's correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's hilarious. They own ABC. And Encanto is a film that I heard much more buzz about. And popularity always scores points, both commercially and just among the populace. So I think Encanto is going to win.
I have a sneaking suspicion you may be right, but I'm still gunning for Mitchell vs. the Machines. I thought it was just amazing, and I really, really hope it wins. But in all honestly, with like the song "We Don't Talk About Bruno" going viral, I think I would be also shocked if Encanto didn't win. But hey, when you have a monopoly, it definitely pays off, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I respect the fact that you're standing by the choice that you believe deserves to win, because that is hope that the Oscars can actually be great one year. Let's hope that it's this year.
Yeah, one day, maybe not anytime soon, but hopefully we can dream.
Yeah, for sure.
So that about wraps up all of our Oscar predictions, our Oscar surprises, our Oscar snubs. Let us know what you think. Do you agree? Do you disagree? You can find us on like Instagram and let us know there. And yeah, I hope this was a fun episode for you to tune into. And I guess we'll see you at the Oscars.
See you guys.
Bye. This episode was hosted by Andrew Truong Le and Anuradha Srikanth. Produced by Phoebe Wang, Dylan Mahoney, and Megan Gordy. Edited by Angela Marie Guevara. Executive produced by Anuradha Srikanth. Thank you for listening.